Sorry, it's such a big subject. I'm trying to work out how to start it. So, over the course of my life, you know, some of you know, it's like I'm already blushing, I haven't even started. Over the course of my life, I've been reflecting on this idea about love. You know, in yoga, we understand that the heart center is our, you know, the emotional center, Anahata Chakra. And you know, I was thinking about how some of you guys who've been to the meditation class, when we do what we call the Atvavatva Samyama, when we practice the mantras going down through your body after meditation, that, you know, just for those of you who don't know, they're like one, we say Om Namah Shivaya, we chant that, Om Ayam Saraswatiye Namaha, Om Ram Ram Ramaya Namaha, and these have, you know, specific reasons and long story, so I won't go into the whole big story. But you, what we do in the class, because I know not all of you have been there, we chant them aloud, and then the mantra that's for the heart center, which is to do with knowing yourself as pure love, because the teaching in yoga is that is actually the case, that we are love without conditions, you know, that's unconditional love, right? And whenever we get to this mantra, that it just becomes so soft. It's amazing, because you've been in the class, right? The sound of it is, not, I don't mean so much soft in volume, but sort of gentle in the resonance of it. And then the next mantra is, you know, we're bringing our energy into this area of the xiphoid process, and the mantra is Om Hrit Ram Swaha. And so, you know, I think of that as like the sword of discernment. It's a mantra for viveka, for clear seeing. And the sound is really like, you know, it's a completely different sound. And it really, it fascinates me how to me that's really interesting, that we have all these different kind of energies in this side, and there's more, but just not to go into the whole big long story about it. But this understanding in yoga that we can actually kind of harness these energies and balance them all, right? And so I wanted to talk to you about the kind of the soft, gentle, very tender, I guess that's what I mean, it's a very tender energy of love. And I guess you know what I mean if you've ever felt brokenhearted. Has anyone ever felt brokenhearted? And the thing is that often we feel like, in the same way, I must say, it's kind of funny, isn't it? Because have you also fallen in love? And often when people fall in love, they feel like the person that they have fallen in love with, the feeling that they have, like no one understands that feeling. Don't you reckon? And I feel like it's in the same way. But the point is that we all do. Because we've all had it if we've fallen in love, right? And that also that we have the feeling of, you know, like when I just asked you about if you've ever been brokenhearted, like lots of you looked at me like, yes, but let's not talk about it. Because that thing of like, we kind of want to also, you know, in a way sort of, I guess, hide that. So so I'm just bringing this up because, this idea, and it's certainly not only my idea, but this, there's a lot of, you know, great, you know, like Alain de Botton. Have you listened to him or read any of his books? Very interesting. He also talks about this, and Esther Perel, who's a great psychotherapist, talks about this kind of idea as well, which is that it's got this idea that we've kind of fallen for this like romantic view that of romanticism of the one true love, you know, and that as we've kind of moved through history, you know, now people have got this idea that the one true love has to also basically be, you know, a source of spiritual fulfillment. You know, like we have this kind of this collective idea that you know, that the love partner has to provide everything, has to be the best friend, best lover, best, you know, etc., right? Carrying right on through the whole big list, including spiritual fulfillment, which is a pretty big, pretty tall order, don't you reckon? Like, no wonder we get disappointed. Anyway, there's a big long story, and I just think it's kind of an interesting one because, as some of you know, I've been divorced twice, so I've like contemplated this a fair amount. And the thing that I kind of really learned from that, from the thing of being in the divorce court and being so upset, you know, so terribly upset, even though it was my idea and I wanted to get divorced, right? So why was I so upset when I was there? And it really struck me, it was because of the delusion. I was facing the delusion that I had thought it was going to be a certain way, and it wasn't. And I'm really hoping no one else has got divorced here, and it's not even to do with divorce that I'm talking about this. I'm just talking about how sometimes we have delusions, right? And sometimes we don't even realize we have delusions, but one of the ways we find them is just through what's referred to as karma. You know, that it's part of our evolution to start to kind of to realize them. And I guess the reason why I'm just bringing this up is because I want to talk to you about this concept of in yoga, that to not be kind of putting that pressure onto one person to be the provider of love, right? And that includes you. That includes putting the pressure on you to be the provider of love. Do you get that? Because if we can understand ourselves as, yeah, we are all the energy of love, do you see? It's kind of like, it's not a burden anymore. It's just a reality. So it's like, then we don't have to pressure ourselves. So anyway, so some of you have heard me talk about this concept before in class, and so I was thinking about it in relationship to like love partner, but then also because, you know, people, you know, some of you guys talk to me about things in your life, and I was thinking also because a few people have talked to me about things to do with their families that have been very difficult, right? So anyone ever have that? Anyone in the families ever like, and you just can't get away from them, right? Ah, well. And so, you know, like we have all these like tools in yoga, the, you know, like for example, the keys, you know, that, you know, to, that we can, you know, potentially be practicing equanimity, like, oh, well, oh, well, that's how it goes. And it does actually help when we see other people nod. Because we can perhaps consider, oh, it's not just me. Because that's another thing that I think that often we want to kind of hide, right? Because we like the delusion of as if there should, we know that's a violent word, never be any problems, right? And anyway, going along with this idea in yoga that life is happening for us, right? Not to us. Like, especially when you consider things to do, say, with our families, like, you know, I was thinking about my friend that was talking to me the other day about, you know, she has a very, really problematic situation with her mother. And the thing is like, we can understand life's happening for me. Like, she wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her mother as well, right? So there's at least something she could think is good about mum, right? And so it got me thinking about this thing, which I've been talking about a bit in class, and I'm just, you know, attempting to put it together right now, is, you know how we talk about the you know, people refer to like the qualities of mothering, right? We all get the qualities of mothering, and people can be mothering who are not mothers. And clearly, giving you that example of my friend who was talking to me, her mother is not mothering. She doesn't, you know, she may be a mother, but she doesn't have the qualities of mothering, right? So it's actually being in the actions, isn't it, that is what's mothering. So what, you know, like empathy, you know, compassion, unconditional love, right? All that, you know, don't you reckon that's what we, you know, caring, tending to, right? That's what I reckon we would say is, and more, there's lots more, right? The qualities of mothering. And it's just got me thinking about how, you know, in the same way that I'm just suggesting that, and please don't get me wrong, if it's really wonderful if you are in love with your high school sweetheart and you're forever together. That is just wonderful. And I just really, like, that does even happen, and that's magnificent. I'm just getting at is that this idea of that that one person isn't the source of love, is all I'm trying to say, right? And I think, does that make sense? It doesn't make sense that one person can be the source of love, because otherwise we'd all be in love with the same one person, right? So it doesn't make sense. So love is something that flows through us. So if it makes sense that one person is not the source of love, I would just also suggest that perhaps, what about that even the mother doesn't have to be the source of mothering? Which I know that's a bit weird. That's a bit weird, right? I get that's weird. I get that's weird because, you know, I'm a mother. I've, you know, got three kids. I've certainly felt that kind of idea of that, you know, that it's all up to me. But that's when I think that I probably was less good at being a mother, was when I felt like it was all up to me, because that actually puts a whole lot of pressure on my kids as well as on myself. Because it's never all up to me, right? It was never all my, you know, my kids' lives didn't depend on me, right? So, but thinking that is a burden, don't you reckon? And I know some of the mums in this room are like, oh, like we often feel that, right? So I'm just suggesting, what if we look at it the other way to do with our own mothers? Because you know how we refer to Mother Earth? Like, we say Mother Earth, don't we? And this idea in yoga is that we can actually kind of get the feeling, like an actual feeling of the elements to support us. That's really what our lives depend on. Like, if you think of the element for the heart chakra is air, and you consider how long can you live without your breath? Not very long, right? So that's why in class, you know, we pay attention to our breath. Not because, you know, you want to change your breath or that there's any, you know, anything like that. It's just actually kind of appreciating for a little while and letting out, you know, and then, have you ever found that kind of feeling that the more, because you guys have all practiced yoga for a long time, you start to get this understanding of how you can kind of direct your breath through your body. And that when you do that, right, because I know some of the things I've talked about may have actually brought up some tension in your body. Anyone noticing that, right? We're so funny. We're so funny about, oh, tension areas, right? Because it just shows how they're habitual and they're caused by thoughts, right? Because isn't it funny how you guys aren't talking but your minds are? Isn't that fascinating, right? And then did you find any tension arise in anything I said earlier, right? Yeah. So my point that I'm just suggesting to you is that we could just try it now if you like, okay? Just notice what happens. Let's just close your eyes and say if you've got any areas that you just kind of notice tension arise in, okay? Let's just bring your awareness to your breath. And you don't have to try and change it. It's funny, your breath does naturally change anyway. Be aware of when you're exhaling and your breath in, how your breath in. Just pause into the breath out. And how your breath out just turns into the breath in. The wave-like motion of your breath. Once you feel like you've kind of really immersed in your experiencing of your breath, feel how it's like you can just direct your breath into any areas where maybe you perhaps felt any tension. So say for example, if you kind of felt it a bit in your shoulder before, feel as if you can just direct your breath into your shoulder. Or maybe it was your jaw, or maybe it was your back. Maybe it was all of those places. You know, can you just direct your breath there? Just experiencing as if that your body is breathing in and breathing out. Just feel the movement of air. Just filling the air all around you. And feel the earth underneath you. Just let your feet rest into the earth. Your legs rest into the earth. Your bottom. Can you just kind of notice, just paying attention for a moment to the kind of quality of the and the feeling of the experience of when you're breathing into your body. Does that feel kind of like a loving energy? As you connect to receiving the breath, your breath. Bring your palms together at your chest and set your intention. We'll join together for one Om. Do you notice how that kind of energy is kind of very loving? Don't you reckon? Do you feel like that?